Today we're gonna talk about Jesus is he's still working, and as we finished up in Luke 11 last week, he's still talking about the work, what's working on the inside of us, and how it plays out. There are things that are at work in our hearts. There are our own personal histories, how we're reacting to culture around us. There's the flesh, and there's the Holy Spirit. What's at work in you? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you, and we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this amazing family that you're building here. Thank you, Lord, that your grace has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, teaching us to say no to ungodliness, that we might be wholly your possession. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the scriptures, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're working even now in each one of us. We ask that you would come now and help us open our minds to the scripture. Give us understanding. And we ask now in this room, Lord, even on Facebook and in this time, would you grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 12, it begins, I'm reading from the NIV here, it says, meanwhile, the NAS says, under these circumstances, which makes us take pause and say, what circumstances are those? Let's go back for a second and remember what's been happening. That Jesus has been addressing Pharisees and teachers of the law, and he's been calling out their hypocrisy in this, that they have a display, a form, a front of righteousness, but inwardly he calls them greedy and wicked. And he has been exposing their hearts, which nobody likes. This is why they hated him, because he called it exactly as it was. This is what's in you. This is what's at work within you. In Luke 11, 53 and 54, it says that after Jesus has said these things, they began to fiercely question him, or question him with hostility. And so this is in America, we're kind of nice, we're polite, but in other areas of the world, when they talk about hostility and fiercely questioning, they're getting in your face. They're becoming maybe even physical in their expression. And so this is the context. Jesus had just finished these hard sayings to the Pharisees, and Luke here writes, meanwhile, after Jesus has said these things, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another. So imagine this: you're there with Jesus, you're one of his disciples, and these religious experts, these religious leaders, these teachers, these Pharisees are in your face. They're questioning you in a hostile manner. Not only that, but now crowds are beginning to gather in such a way that they're trampling over one another. Right? Maybe you've been in a situation like that. Maybe they don't do this anymore, but Black Friday, they had to shut that down because people were being trampled. People were getting killed, or maybe overseas at a soccer match, or maybe at a concert, or people just get out of control. And so you imagine being a disciple there with Jesus as all this is going on, and perhaps the thought begins to go through your mind, we're going to die. Like this is intense. Maybe they began to even question, is this worth it, following Jesus? Is this actually what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like? People in your face, people trampling on it, mass hysteria, what is going on? Maybe we got it wrong. Maybe we should step back this. Maybe we should go back to what we were doing before. Maybe he's not even who he says he is. And maybe it wasn't exactly in this moment, at this context, but Luke says that Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He turns first to his disciples. He's just finished calling out the hypocrisy of Pharisees and teachers of the law. And then he turns to his own disciples and says, be on your guard. Because the reality is, and we all know this from our own hearts, is that none of us are exempt from this same measure of hypocrisy being in our lives. Which translates down to even us today. We have to understand that Jesus, it's not just, we sometimes read this and the Pharisees have gotten this awful rap a lot of times. Those nasty Pharisees, who do they think they are? They're hypocrites. They're so hard on people. And then we in a sense, we deny this power of God to examine our own hearts. We deny the Word's power of ability to examine, to search us and know us and see what's in us, see if there's any anxious way in us, see what's not coming into agreement with the Word of God in our own lives. Jesus, he went from calling the Pharisees out on it and then turning to his disciples in love as a good teacher, saying, you yourselves need to be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees. And what is that yeast? Jesus calls it right out. It's hypocrisy. And he uses this image of yeast. And yeast, throughout Scripture, mostly it's used for sin. But we see Jesus use it also in the kingdom of God. He says the kingdom of heaven, it's like a little yeast in a dough of bread. And as you knead that yeast into the dough, it begins to interact, it begins to ferment and release power throughout the entire lump of dough. The kingdom of God is like that. It's just this small little thing at first, but then it just begins to work its way through the entirety of our lives, releasing power in every part of it. But it's invisible, isn't it? We don't actually see. We see the effects, but we don't actually see it, and it's silent. We do know that this yeast of the Pharisees, it's powerful. And it begins to transform. And if we're not on guard, it goes through every area of our lives. It's silent. It's invisible. And so we have to be on guard again. What power is at work within you? This is power that was at work in the Pharisees, and so we have to be on guard that this same power isn't at work within us as well. And so Jesus goes on, he says, there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. Again, this is two-sided. As you try and unpack this a little bit, scholars and commentators are all over the place about what are you trying to say here? And I think, again, just like the kingdom and the yeast and the Pharisees and the yeast, there's two sides to this. You know what Scripture teaches us, that what this whole thing, what the gospel is after, what Christianity is all about, isn't just about performing rituals and going to services and having this outward appearance. But David says, Lord, you desire purity on the inmost parts. In other words, who you are in the private spaces of your life, there will be no differentiation between what is seen publicly. This is what he's after. This is what he's working for. When we talk about purity, it's not just simply the absence of sin, but it's an undivided heart. David says, unite my heart that I might fear your name. It's a heart that's singular in devotion and singular in love. It's Jesus, you have everything of my heart. And so when Jesus is saying this, like what you've said in the dark and what you've whispered in the inner rooms, it's this, you know, that wisdom is proved right by her children. And when we come into times of testing and high pressure, like maybe a moment like this was, what is actually in us comes out. It's expressed, it's acted upon, it's spoken. And we get to see in these moments of testing, this is why James says, consider this joy. Because when you're tested, right, it's when you persevere, perseverance has its perfect work, that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And when we're tested, when we're put under pressure like that, we see where we're mature in Christ and where we're immature in Christ. We see where we've been shored up in our faith and where our faith is lacking. All of this is revealed. The secret things that were spoken, the lies that we believe, the lack of faith, the lack of maturity, the divided heart, the love of lesser things, it all comes out. It's all revealed. So be on guard and watch, and what type of power is at work within you. Every time that you've said yes, every time that you've leaned into righteousness, in times of testing, this is what will come out. In every area where we've shrunken back and chosen our own way, chosen sinfulness, or chosen self-serving attitude or actions, this is what comes out in times of testing. And so here we are in the throes of this COVID-19 crisis, and what is coming out of America? What is coming out of our own hearts? What is coming out? Because what is going on in the secret places is revealed. And the opposite is true as well. If we're full of hypocrisy, then that is what is exposed. And Jesus, in a sense, he's a faithful teacher. Teachers in school, they will always tell you this. Guys, pay attention. Hey, this is going to be on the test. Be on guard. Beware. What's going on the inside? What power is at work within you? Because it will be revealed one way or another. So, what will be on the test? Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Sentences like this, they just make me chuckle when, you know, we always like to pick life verses of prosperity and blessing, and Jesus says, get ready. Your life will be threatened. Don't fear what man can do to you, because man, he can kill you, and then his power and his authority is ended. But fear him who, after you have been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Fear the one who has the authority to punish you for eternity. Be mindful, have an eternal perspective on your life. So oftentimes we're just so wrapped up in the moment that we completely lose sight of what our reactions or what our responses or what our choices in this moment, they're bearing on eternity. That's called wisdom. When we think beyond just simply the moment and the shaking that we're enduring and the fear that we're feeling and all of the questions and uncertainty, we just react to whatever we think seems right, whatever feels good to us, rather than thinking in light of the eternal consequences of my choices, of my actions. What's gonna happen? How will I lose my possessions? How will I lose my rights? How will I, it's my pleasures of this life. And none of these things are wrong in and of themselves, but they become idols and gods to us, and we serve them rather than fearing the one who, after the body's been killed, has the authority to throw us into hell. What power is at work within you? He's calling us to live with an eternal perspective, to live, think, view your life in terms of eternity. Why should we do this? And it's amazing to me, Jesus, here we talk about the fear of God, or sometimes we talk about the love of God. Jesus just brings the fear of God with the revelation of his love together. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, yet not one of them is forgotten by God? Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The remedy to the fear of man is the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of his love and his justice. The best way I can see this is to point our example to Christ. 1 Peter writes this about Jesus as he's suffering, as he's going through the cross and the beatings and the abuse and the punishment that he took there. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. There is not a sparrow that falls that he does not remember. There is not a hair on your head that he has not numbered, and there is not a single wrong or injustice that you have suffered that he will not take into account. That's the eternal view of things. The temporal, the immediate view of things is I'm losing and I'm missing out on this. The eternal view is there's a judge who's just and he's seated on the throne and he's taken this into account. And I'm going to choose to fear him over whatever is threatening my life in this moment. Ours is not to fear man, but to keep ourselves from sin, as Jesus did. To keep ourselves from deceit, as Jesus did. To keep ourselves from retaliation, at Jesus. In this moment of testing, the power that's at work within Christ is being revealed in him. What power is at work within you? Jesus goes on, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. Can you imagine this moment of acknowledgement before the angels of God? Do you know that daily he's working his glory in us from one degree to another? Glory is at work within us, and one day the fullness of that glory is going to be revealed. Scripture tells us that he's actually going to clothe us in glory. He actually is going to share with us the glory that he's had with his Father from the beginning. And then he's going to share the delight, the joy, the overwhelming love that he has for us, unfettered, and let us experience that pleasure forever. Do you know that he rejoices over you with singing? What are the words to that song? What does that sound like? And not only that, Jesus tells us that the angels rejoice. They celebrate. They throw a party whenever one sinner comes to repentance. What does that party look like? What does it sound like when angels start rejoicing? We get worked up because thunder shakes our house a little bit. But you got angels celebrating. You got the love of God and the glory of his fellowship with the Father just covering you for eternity. And we'll exchange that for the approval of man for a few minutes. What power is at work within you? And please please hear this. I'm right here with us because these are the same things that work in my heart as well that I have to be on guard against. Jesus goes on, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We learn in other Gospels, Jesus says, blaspheming the Holy Spirit, he explains it like this. It's calling the works of God the works of Satan. And when we fail to live with this eternal perspective of our eternal rewards, you know what it does? It dulls us. It dulls us. And we can't tell heads from tails. We can't tell where we're going. Is this of the Lord? Is this not? Is COVID judgment from God on America? Or is it a plot from the government? Is this the Lord awakening the church? Or is this just something that happened? What's going on? What's the Lord saying? But without an eternal perspective, without faith in a heart that's alive towards our eternal rewards, we lack clarity to even know the difference. So what are we to do? Jesus said, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. What power is at work within you? In those moments where you're forced to choose between saving your life or losing it for his sake, what power is at work within you? In those moments where we question whether or not we should guard our lives and protect our reputation or acknowledge Christ. What power is at work within you? In those moments where perhaps it'd be easier just to say, you know, this whole idea of Christianity was just a man-made myth. I'm going to back away from it. I'm going to go another way. What power is at work within you? Jesus says, the Holy Spirit, He will be with you. And He will be teaching you. And He will be speaking through you. What power is at work within us? It's the Holy Spirit. Not only is He giving clarity to our minds and clarity to our eyes and clarity to our ears, but He's giving us a clear voice. The Holy Spirit, He is our only hope for clarity. He is our only hope. What power is at work within you? As I want us to understand, for this purity of heart, it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of the things that Jesus said. It's the Holy Spirit who testifies to us of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the mind of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us the nature of Christ. It's the Holy Spirit who, in raising Christ from the dead, dwelling in us, is giving us life. And it's that through the power of the Holy Spirit that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. I want to be pure on the inside as well on the outside. What power is at work within you? This power is our only hope against any measure of hypocrisy in our lives. It's why when we sing, we cry out for more of Him. We hunger for more of Him. And sometimes people kind of get hung up on this wording. Like, I got all of Him when I got saved. Absolutely. But there is yet to be one of us who has experienced the full measure of His work and His power in our lives. We want more. I want to be pure on the inside. What power is at work within you? I want to be righteous as He was righteous. I want to be bold as He was bold. I want to be loving as He was loving. To the point of the cross, willing to lay down His life for sinners. I want that measure of purity at work in me. I want that power at work in me. What power is at work within you? It's why when we sing, we cry out for more of Him. It's why we ask Him for eyes to see and ears to hear. It's why we pray that He would open our minds to the Scripture, that He would give us understanding, that we would know His testimonies. It's why we ask Him to fill us with the knowledge of the Holy One. God, grip our hearts. Enlarge our knowledge of Your glory. Captivate our hearts afresh, because I want my heart united in fear for You. I want my heart in love and fully captivated with who You are. What power is at work within you? Paul tells us in Romans that the Father pours His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus prays for us. He says, Father, my prayer is this, that the love that You have for me would be in them. What power is at work within you? I want to be pure on the inside, and I want to love Jesus like the Father does. This is through the Holy Spirit. He desires that none should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of the truth. I want to love our city. I want to love the lost like the Father does. I want to be pure on the inside. What power is at work within us? And Jesus said this. He said, love each other like the Father's loved me. and like I've loved you. And I want to love my brothers and my sisters just like Jesus loved me. We're celebrating Memorial Day this weekend. Scripture tells us that no greater love is any man than this, that he lays down his life. And just as he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. I want the same measure of love that was working in the heart of Christ to be working in me. I want to be pure on the inside. And I want the full measure of the Holy Spirit's power and work purifying me. It's my only hope against the same yeast, the same power of hypocrisy that's a silent killer. We cry out for more. Because otherwise, all we're left with is just sort of trying to keep the outward show going and hoping eventually inside our heart lines up. Scripture, this is the glory of what Jesus did, is he gave us he sent his Holy Spirit that we might be partakers of his divine nature. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And our remedy, the antidote, is Holy Spirit, fill me to overflowing. Holy Spirit, come. We long for you. We want to be more fully yours. Holy Spirit, we have no righteousness apart from what you've given us through Christ. So come and have your perfect work accomplished in our hearts today. Let's have the worship team come forward. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've not left us as orphans. You've not left us to figure this out on our own, but you've come to us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you not only paid the penalty of our sins, you not only washed us from the stain of our sins, but by your Holy Spirit, you gave us power to walk in victory over them. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are faithful even when we are faithless. Thank you that your power is perfected in our weakness. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just ask you now, in your kindness, lead us to repentance. We ask you now, Lord, just release your grace on our hearts. Lord, we ask now for a fresh season of hunger to fall on us as a people. Lord, we ask you, Lord, for a fresh season, Lord, of pursuit of you, Lord. We ask you, Father, for a fresh season, Lord, of open eyes, of revelation, Lord. Lord, that we would be freshly captivated in the knowledge of the Holy One, God. Lord, we don't want to be dull. We don't want to be blind. We don't want to be deaf. We don't want to be hard-hearted, God. So we receive from you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.